Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. You can always find out more at thenobodyguidetolife.com, and you can discover more on our YouTube channel, The Nobody Guide to Life. Thank you for joining us. There's a beautiful narrative out there in the world that many in the personal and spiritual growth space tell in one version or another. And it's not just something fanciful or fictional, but it's real and it's approachable. And it's this: I was heading down one path in life and I wasn't feeling inspired. And then, seemingly out of nowhere, I found my passion, my joy, or just maybe it found me. And although life isn't all roses from that point on, it's certainly a much more loving and fulfilling adventure. And my guest today is living that story. Jennifer Noel Taylor started her job as a software engineer to pay the bills, and it paid them. But she knew it didn't align with her true passion. In fact, it left her feeling cold and alone. So she started exploring bodywork and alternative healing. She started to feel others' energy fields and then received a very strong intuition that she'd finally found her path. In 2002, she discovered Richard Gordon and Quantum Touch and fell in love with the mission to teach energy healing worldwide. Now, as CEO and Chief Magical Officer of Quantum Touch, Jennifer promotes optimal wellness by helping people connect to love, because she knows that love is the basis of all healing. Jennifer is the author of Love Incorporated, The Business of Doing What You Love, and Spiritual and Broke, How to Stop Struggling with Money and Live Your Purpose. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. You touch on so many different parts of that personal growth narrative about people starting off in one place and then finding their passion somewhere else. So we touched a little on it in your bio, but can you talk a little bit about how you found your passion? Can you unpack those synchronicities for us a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I started my real world work as a software developer. I got a degree at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo in computer science. And I started my first job as a software developer, and I quickly discovered how much I hated my job. I was bored and lonely and uninspired, and I basically went to work to collect a paycheck. And I remember I attended a company award ceremony at one of my companies, and I saw a person that had worked at that company for 40 years. They were receiving some kind of like lifetime achievement award or something like that. And I remember seeing this person walk onto stage, and I was horrified because he looked like the whole job has completely sucked the life force energy out of him.
Right.
And that's how I felt about my job. So I started begging the universe for answers, and it typically went like this, especially on Monday morning. All right, universe, I'm super depressed. I hate my job. I don't want to go. There must be something else I'm supposed to do. Can you show me the way? And that went on for quite a while, lots of begging for my purpose. And and I'm sure many people have done that. And as I was begging to discover my purpose, I started doing what I was interested in outside of work. So I'd work a full work day, and then at night I went to massage school because I was really fascinated by touch.
Right.
And yeah, and my whole thing was, so what is this? Why is touch so amazing? It can really, a hug can really change your attitude for the day. And what is that? And that's why I went to massage school, because I wanted to find the answer to that question for myself. And I studied massage, and we had a course on energy medicine, and I really got into the energy medicine. It was really fascinating to me. And as I got into that, I heard the universe speak, or perhaps we call it our intuition, and it was saying to me, energy medicine is your life purpose.
Wow.
And I thought, that's awesome, and nobody makes any money doing energy medicine. That was about, that was about 12 years ago, and I just thought, well, universe, you know, you're insane, because right now I'm making a decent living, and energy medicine is a fringe thing that people wearing robes and hippies do. I can't do that for a job.
Right.
That was my instant response, right? So I still followed my passion and started attending workshops and lectures on energy healing. And I still kept my day job. I attended a lecture on quantum touch by the founder, Richard Gordon. And halfway through that lecture, the universe had something else to say. The universe said, by the way, you know that man up there in that company? Yeah, you're supposed to run that company. And I didn't know him, right? I mean, he was a complete stranger. He was just giving a lecture. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about the company. And the guidance was really strong. And so my retort was, okay, universe, you're really crazy now, because am I just supposed to go up to this person and say, by the way, I'm supposed to run your company? And I mean, because he was only, you know, on the lecture was on Maui, and he was only there for a few days. So how was that going to go down in a few days? I had no clue. However, I kept on following my passion, and I started hanging out with him, and went to his workshop later on, and we ended up falling in love, and we started a relationship. And I actually, after knowing him for about a few weeks, we had another crazy idea. I decided to move in with him.
Wow.
Yeah, just completely. So I was living on Maui, and he was living in Santa Cruz, and we had known each other for about a month, and I quit my job on Maui and moved in with him. Just wow. Completely random. Yeah, it just felt right. And boy, that was quite a leap of faith. And yeah. So, you know, it just felt like the right thing to do. And then shortly after I moved in with him, you know, my mom called and said, you know, you quit your job and you move with someone you barely know. Are there any plans to secure a future or get a job? And I said, well, not really.
So, total leap of faith.
Yeah, total leap of faith. But as it turned out, for better or for worse, the company, Quantum Touch, was going under fast. And the CEO at that time wanted to quit and get a real job. Ironically, she wanted the type of job that I had just left.
Wow.
And so she called me one day and said, you know, I need to get a job that actually pays, and this thing is sinking. You want to take it over?
Wow.
And I'm like, all right. So that's that's how that all started. And the company was a mess. I mean, it was definitely no revenue really was coming in, and it was definitely needed some attention. And I didn't really blame her for wanting to get a secure job. So that's how it all started.
Wow. And I love that story, because I think it really speaks to the power of following your passion, listening to your intuition, even if the answer doesn't come immediately. Because you put out that desire, you put out that vision, and then it worked its way to you. And it wasn't necessarily immediate, but through synchronicities, it came to pass.
I begged the universe for years.
Right.
And I was getting discouraged, but I think sometimes it's just a timing thing, or, you know, I don't understand the full mystery of why things happen when they do, and how synchronicity happens, but it was pretty magical to start opening the heart and following the heart and getting what I learned is the universe doesn't just hand you the whole picture all at once. It gives you kind of breadcrumbs, you know, like, okay, follow this crumb and follow this crumb. And then you finally things transform. So that was my experience.
Well, I love that you use that term. My wife and I will do things sometimes where we follow the breadcrumb trail. So when something really synchronous happens, we take a look back and see how far we can trace that back to where we first had that vision or first had that interest. So I'd love that you use the word breadcrumb, because I think that's really what it is. It's this little trail we can follow, and it can lead to amazing things. And it led you to Quantum Touch. So can you tell us a little bit about what Quantum Touch is? What was it about Quantum Touch and the process of that really drew you in?
So Quantum Touch is an energy medicine modality, and it operates on the core philosophy that everything in the world is energy.
Right.
So it's a little bit different than our intuition or our kind of what our logical mind believes, because when you look at your kitchen table, it's pretty solid. It seems really solid. And so when I say everything is energy, that implies that it's just a configuration of energy and not as solid as it seems.
Right.
And it's really weird. So the body is the same way. In our belief system, the body is just a system of energy, and it's in a configuration that we create. So for example, and this is a little radical from what we have been, you know, brought up to believe, but if, for example, we have knee pain, the philosophy behind quantum touch is that knee pain is just a particular energetic configuration, and that we created that energetic configuration within our body, that we're generating that. There's something in our consciousness that's generating it, or in our energy body that's generating it. So to shift knee pain, it's not like we give people pain medication or anything like that. We actually teach people, how do you shift the energy around it so that it resolves and the body can heal itself? So that's our core philosophy. It's very much, let's take ownership of our health.
How close is that to something like Reiki? Millions of people practice Reiki. How close are quantum touch and modalities like Reiki?
I would say the core philosophy of all these energetic modalities like Reiki and healing touch and quantum touch and Qigong and every practice that works with energy operates under this core assumption that everything is energy.
Right.
And then the difference is the different approaches. So Reiki has a lineage approach where it passes down the ability from a lineage. And so it's just different approaches. And I believe people pick the modality that they resonate with because of the approach.
Right.
But it all goes to the same place, in my opinion.
Right. So what does a quantum touch session look like? So if somebody out there has done Reiki or other energy work and they're hearing this now for the first time, what can they expect either at a seminar or in a session with you?
So in a session, basically, depending on what's going on with the client, a lot of sessions just look like straight hands-on healing. So basically, if someone has knee pain, you'll put the practitioner will put their hands over the knee and work with the energy. Sometimes we have a technique called self-created health that works a little more with dialoguing and understanding the emotional cause behind the pain.
Right.
So a session may either be dialogue or just straight hands-on work. And it's not like massage where you're, you know, getting into the muscles and you know, doing kind of effleurage or massage techniques. It's just hands-on. So somebody watching the session will just see a person kind of put hands somewhere and then move them somewhere else and just work on it that way.
So you're saying, so then in quantum touch, then it's really a very holistic, is it kind of a mind, body, and spirit? So a session could be anything from touch, so physical touch, to also discussing patterns of thinking, patterns of feeling. Is that you? So you work with everything?
Yeah, we work with everything because, again, if in our belief set, everything is energy. So we're really trying to help the client shift their energy. And you can do that by sending energy into the space. That's one way. If something's really stuck, sometimes there's an emotional cause that kind of creates a stuck condition in the body. So basically then that can turn into a forgiveness process, releasing the emotion, which I think is really important for the healing process.
So how have you seen this work? Do you have any stories or of people that you've seen really have and I know you probably have thousands of them, but what stories stand out to you about people who have had really fundamental shifts in their body, in their minds, in their emotions from using quantum touch?
So one of the stories is I got a call from somebody who said they would like a session because they had broken their bone and it healed improperly and the doctor needed to go in and re-break it.
Right.
And reset it. And so she called me and I said, "Oh, okay." So this was a distant healing session that she asked me for because we weren't in the same vicinity. So I hung up the phone and I spent maybe a half an hour doing distant healing, which is basically I sent her energy from a distance.
Right.
So she called me the next day and said, "Oh, her bone was fine and it didn't need to be rebroken and the doctor, you know, was totally fine." So it had healed itself. So that was a pretty amazing story, because usually, you know, a broken bone doesn't do that. So,
right.
So I love that story. We just have all kinds of stories of anything from, okay, the pain went away, to cancer went away. We're not allowed to say that we cure anything, but we've just seen stuff really miraculously self-correct, because I believe the body can do that.
And do you work with physicians, with chiropractors? Do you work in tandem with traditional medicine to treat clients?
Some physicians have worked with our modality. Healing Touch is used at hospitals. It's another energy modality that's used at hospitals. And it works really well in a medical setting, because it can help with pain relief, and it can help facilitate the heal process. So if somebody went in for surgery and now it's up to their body to heal, Quantum Touch or other modalities can really help with that healing process. It can also really help with pain relief. That's one of the things that we've seen great results with. We did a clinical trial where we saw an average 67% reduction in pain. Wow. So energy can work really well with pain, especially for people who are not seeing pain relief from, let's say, taking a medication or other techniques.
Right. Right. And, you know, in your story, it's interesting how you were so drawn to energy healing. And I know that your journey has inspired the books that we talked about. So Love Incorporated and Spiritual and Broke. Can you take us back now to that area of your journey and talk to us about, where did the ideas for these books come from? And can you talk to us a little bit about Spiritual and Broke, which I know is your second book? Can you take us back and talk to us a little bit about what inspired those books?
Sure. Yeah. So basically, when I quit my job and took that leap of faith and started working with Quantum Touch, I was really surprised to discover how horrible my finances became. And because I was under the belief that if you follow your heart and do what you love, the money will follow and it'll be all roses and rainbows, right? And I really believed that. So I was really surprised when I did all this with the leap of faith, took on working with Quantum Touch, and it just, my money took a complete nosedive. It was ridiculous. I was stressed about money. I took on a $100,000 business line of credit. I borrowed $35,000 on my credit card. I got all this debt, and it just seemed like we were always on the verge of going out of business. And
right. And
so I was angry at God, because my dialogue was, you know, what's going on here? You know, you promise that if we do what we love, the money will come, and that you'll support us in our mission. And where's the money? Come on. You know, so I was feeling like a martyr for the cause and angry at God, and didn't understand why following my heart seemed to have failed me financially.
Right.
So that's how that book got started. And I noticed a lot of other people had the same issue. They followed their heart, or they're trying to start a coaching practice or do something that has meaning. And, you know, they're couch surfing or living out of their car, or, you know, can't afford to eat, or, you know, really bad.
Right.
You know, and so that's how my book got started.
And it tells the story of how you got out of that pit of debt, and how you actually turned that into passion as well as income, correct?
Yeah, it told the story about how I turned it around. So I paid off all the debt. I didn't declare bankruptcy. I paid off $135,000 of debt.
Wow.
Started saving money. Really changed my relationship with money. And I describe everything that I did to do that, so that I wouldn't attract or create a financial disaster anymore.
Right.
And it was a pretty involved process, because what I noticed, and I'm sure other people notice this too, is that at first I set off to do a budget. So I created the spreadsheet. I said, all right, I'm going to cut up my credit card, and I'm going to, you know, cut back my expenses and try to be good. You know, I'm going to put myself on a financial diet.
Right.
And what happened was, like all diets, it had a rebound effect. And I felt like I was starving financially. So, you know, I finally got sick of it and said, all right. And I went on a rebound spending spree. Or the other issue that I found is, whenever I cut my expenses, my income would just magically go down to match my new level of expenses. And it got really, it was really weird. And I've had other friends that said that that happened to them too, where they'd try to cut back and then their income would go down, or they'd, you know, raise their income and then they'd have like an unexpected expense that would, you know, raise their expenses to match their income. So it's like, no matter what they did, they couldn't get ahead. And that's what I was experiencing. I'm like, what's up with this? I'm trying to get ahead even, and I can't. So I realized that it was the energy that I was projecting into the world rather than the logic behind it. So once I shifted that energy, then things started to shift.
Right. I think that's such an important message. It's really hard to describe. And we've had other guests talk about the law of attraction and some of the traps that people will fall into with that. And I think your story really speaks to that, because you're speaking about reducing your spending, but then you may be in a lack mindset, or I can't afford these things, therefore I can't have them. And then that creates an energy of lack. And so I love that you tell that story, because I think it's important for people to hear that it does take time, and it can take practicing, and it can take asking and setting your intention the right way again and again before everything finally falls into line.
I think it's really interesting with the law of attraction. It can be really frustrating too, because I do believe the law of attraction is real, and that the energy we project into the world gets reflected back to us. But the weird part for me about the law of attraction is I spent a lot of time thinking abundant thoughts, like, oh, I'm attracting money. And I had all these mantras and affirmations, and that didn't seem to do the job, which was really odd. And I got frustrated. I'm like, what's going on? And so it was really an odd thing to go deeper with it and shift fundamentally the energy I was projecting, rather than just, thoughts are a part of it, but it wasn't the whole story for me.
Right. I love that. I love that. And that's what you describe in Spiritual and Broke, about how you turned it around using that different mindset, correct?
Yeah. How I turned it around, based on, you know, how did I shift my energy around it? What were the steps I took? And just that whole process of how do we really go the deeper cut and shift our fundamental beingness, basically. Yeah, it's a lot deeper than just shifting our thoughts, because we're actually shifting who we are on some fundamental levels. And that's what I describe in my book.
I think that's great. And I think it marries perfectly with the reasons that you were attracted to quantum touch, about how a fundamental shift at a very deep level can have visible effects and real effects and fast effects sometimes, but it takes work.
Well, yeah, one of the things is that, I'll just give an example. What I've noticed with money and also with medical conditions is that a lot of times, if you dig deep enough, there's something that needs to be forgiven. It's really trippy, but a lot of times anger, lack of forgiveness, things that are emotionally stuck in the heart, something that happened to you in the past that seemed really unfair and horrible, and you haven't let it go. And I noticed that when I held on to that kind of stuff, it really blocked my ability to attract what I wanted. So it was really interesting that some of the stuff that I processed turned into a forgiveness process.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that before from others, that they said once they went into either deep gratitude or deep forgiveness, that's when things unstuck. That's when things unblocked at a very deep level. So I love that you bring that up. Now, Jennifer, you are the CEO of Quantum Touch. You're an author. You talk about energy healing. You're a practitioner. What's a tip or tool from all that experience that you can give us to help us right now on our journeys of personal and spiritual growth?
So one of the things that I feel like really helps me is I actually ask my heart what it wants. And it's really simple, but it's a really good tool, because first of all, it opens up to gratitude, because to open your heart, you have to open up to gratitude, I feel like. And really checking in is, you know, what is my path? What is my flow? What do you want? And a lot of times our fantasies or our dreams or that thing we keep thinking about or is really our heart talking to us.
Right.
And just allow yourself to go there, because sometimes in the real world where you're caught in a mortgage and bills and all of this stuff, it's hard to sometimes listen to the heart and understand what it really wants. but just giving it some time to speak to you every day.
I think that's great. And you said it so well in there. When we get caught up in the everyday things like the mortgage and the bills, we start to mistake head for heart. And I think what you're saying is very important. Sit with it. Sit with it, because that's how you can really hear it clearly. I think that's great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I do that. I do that a lot. And another thing that I do, I know life can get everyone down. It's part of life. Sometimes things happen, or we generate things, let's say, that are maybe discouraging, depressing, sad, horrible. I think sometimes it's hard to find our way through all of that. And so what I like to do as a practice sometimes is do something every day that I love.
Right.
For even just a short period of time. And that's one technique I use to listen to the heart, because again, you know, life can, with all the bills and everything else, it can be hard sometimes to even tap into that, to tap into what the heart wants. So for example, my favorite example is petting kittens. And I foster for the Humane Society. And if I have a kitten and pet a kitten, I mean, just something so simple as that can open your heart so you can hear it, at least for a brief period of time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Comes out a lot on this show as a mindful practice, or even taking 5 minutes for meditation. But I agree with you. Just getting yourself focused on something you love, something you're grateful to be doing, can really have a profound shift on the way you approach your day and your life. So I totally agree. I think that's very powerful advice. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Nobody Guide to Life. Jennifer, thank you for being on the show and for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it too.
I want to remind our listeners, there's what we do and what we love. And sometimes those merge and we find ourselves doing what we love to do. But no matter where you are in life or work, one thing you can choose is love. Go into your day with the belief that you can heal the world, and try to see others as more than just faces along the way, but as fellow travelers seeking the same thing you're seeking. A safe, positive experience of love and healing in everyday life. And then, just maybe, your true passion and true love will find you. You can find out more about Jennifer Noelle Taylor and her wonderful work with Quantum Touch and her books, Love Incorporated and Spiritual and Broke, at jennifernoelletaylor.com. And you can always check out more episodes at thenobodyguidetolife.com, or find videos and episodes of the show on YouTube at The Nobody Guide to Life. Reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook at Nobody's View, or on Instagram at J.A. Plosker, or join our Facebook community, Simple Spirituality. If you liked what you heard on this episode, please consider sharing it with someone you know, someone you think may need a healing. Keep practicing and have a good week.